Hello, everybody, and welcome to our week 11 / finale coverage of Big Brother Australia 2014. I am Kurt Clark, and as always, for the past 11 weeks, I'm being joined by Amy. Amy, how are you?
I'm good, Kurt. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. It was, you know, like 80 some straight days of Big Brother Australia followed by a lot of turkey.
Yeah. It wasn't catered by KFC or Aldi.
No, I did not have any of the double downs at my Thanksgiving, and no Ambipure was needed.
That's
everything
good.
Smelled wonderful in the my relative's house. It smells of cooking.
This is good.
And I was hiding a fish in my jacket pocket and nobody noticed. So, but yeah, how was yours?
Very good. Just coming back from a 2.5 hour drive from where I had Thanksgiving. So I just hope I remember everything. But thank you to everyone for being patient with us because of the holiday weekend. We had a little bit of a delay in covering this.
Yes, and thank you. Whether you're tuning in through the Rob has a website, or you're listening in the iTunes feed, or the new Rob has a podcast app, which you can check out at robhasawebsite.com/app. However you are listening to us, we thank you for listening now, and we thank you for all the previous weeks of listening up until now. And let's cut right to the chase, Amy. We have our 2014 winner crowned. It is Leo. Wait, no. Leo's real name is Ryan, right?
Ryan
yes. is our winner.
Ryan is the winner.
And you had called this, didn't you? You said Sky.
I said Ryan's okay. Second place.
Okay.
So neither of us, both of us were very good at predicting the first three to go
yes.
out of the six. But when it came to night two, finale night,
a little
not
bit
so
off.
Much.
Yes. So Ryan is our winner. It's the third consecutive male winner in the new era. Thank you.
Yep.
Of Big Brother Australia. Initial reactions to Ryan as the winner. What are your thoughts?
He was my least favorite of the three to be the winner. Not least favorite. You know, I'm sure I would agree with all the housemates who, when they were outside of the house, were all, you know, most of them were Team Ryan and saying, you know, he was just great to live with. And I'm sure I would agree with them. But as a viewer, I thought he brought the least, even though I wasn't a huge Travis fan. You and I had talked about the last few weeks. He became pretty endearing and he was just a lot more memorable. I don't find Ryan, especially if I compare him with the past two winners before this, neither of them were the top person I was rooting for throughout the season, but I was very happy with their wins. And this was the first time as a Big Brother Australia fan where I was just sort of, this is my, you know, of the three, least desirable choice.
Yeah, he wasn't the straw that stirred the drink at all this season. I'd say mm-hmm. you could point to more things that Sky has quote unquote done during the course of the season. Likewise with Travis, and likewise I think the two previous winners in 2012 and 2013.
Yeah, you don't really see him being like. I think both Tim and Ben have gone on to kind of make repeat appearances on the show or do things for the franchise. And I just don't see Ryan kind of being that face of the franchise, if you know what I mean. If you know what I mean.
You know what I mean, yeah.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
But
it's, it's like, he's not an objectionable winner. Mm-hmm. Like if you want drama and controversy over your winners, I suggest everybody go back and check out this previous season of Big Brother UK.
Okay.
This
well, we did get a question on Twitter from Steph B at snappy_happy10. She said, any suggestions on what to do with all this free time I have now that Big Brother Australia is over? So there's one recommendation for you.
Yeah, I'd recommend going through a cleanse and not watching any Big Brother for a while, for a little bit. But that's my plan after six straight months.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. You've had them even more than I have.
I would I thought, yeah, this past summer was interesting. And if you would like your Big Brother along with a little bit of reality TV wrap-ups coverage, it is the first season of it that we covered. So you can go back and use the app for easy nice. Access to all of the shows. But in terms of previous things to watch, I would recommend personally the 2012 seasons of Big Brother UK and Big Brother Australia. I think it was just a solid year across both shows. 2013 was good for Big Brother Australia. I mm-hmm. personally like 2012 better. Okay. I'd say 2013 for Big Brother UK was kind of a little bit of a snooze fest.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I would. Yeah. Either of those two Big Brother Australia seasons, if you were a fan and this was your first time watching Big Brother Australia, I would recommend. There should be on YouTube still. So somewhere. Yeah. They're always recommended to me when I'm watching this one. So yeah. Like, oh, I remember that episode and the thumbnail.
Yeah. But yeah, we had our final three of Sky, Travis, and Ryan, and Ryan seems like a swell enough guy. I just wasn't terribly entertained by him on the show. I think he did even voice in the finale that he didn't think that his dry sense of humor would come across to the listening public. And I don't think it did.
Yeah, so what were they voting for him based on?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's like, I wouldn't like if personally if I had like if I was told here you can dump you know 1,000 votes into one person, I probably would have picked Travis. I wouldn't have necessarily wanted Sky to win mm-hmm. because she just seemed to me to be a little less authentic than mm-hmm. Travis. Mm-hmm. And I would say that Ryan seemed probably just as authentic as Travis, but just wasn't as to me entertaining. And he's not going in there to entertain. I think Travis right. was. And
both Travis and Sky talked a lot about, you know, just they're already winners. They were really grateful for the experience. And I think that's, as a viewer, kind of fun to see. And we didn't really see a lot of Ryan expressing that. It was just sort of, oh, the money will change my life. These people deserve it just as much. But it was, everything was very subdued with him. Yeah. And so again, it's like, yeah, I think he agree with, like, was it Penny who was just like, oh, he's so easy to live with? And but to me, that's just not a reason to champion someone.
I'm thinking one reason he may have been voted for, and I can completely co-sign this, is that more than the other five finalists, I'd say of the final six, if I had to pick one person who most often voiced a opinion that was either the sane opinion or brought a voice into the house that was likely what much of the public was thinking about particular situations, mm-hmm. I'd say that was probably Ryan. Mm-hmm. I don't think that let's call that a relatability. I wouldn't say that yep. Sky and Travis were relatable as much as they were likable or entertaining. Uh-huh. Whereas Ryan was much more relatable and, you know, this was, you know, I think one of the reasons, ironically, that I was so drawn to Chris Wright as a character, as a player on Big Brother UK this summer. We through that series, we repeatedly voiced how he was saying in the diary room the things that we as viewers were watching, or we're thinking ourselves. Uh-huh. And I think Ryan, out of the final six, did that the most. Maybe Priya. A mm-hmm. bit.
Yeah, Priya got a lot more diary room time.
Yeah.
I think maybe one of the things with Ryan is, you know, it's one thing to be kind of, you know, more quieter character in the house. But like what Rob on the Survivor recaps has been talking about this current season of Survivor, there doesn't seem to be a really dynamic narrator or someone who's really giving all the information. And I think if Ryan had brought more in the diary room and had more pointed observations and or a little showed even more of his humor there, I don't think he got, you know, first half of the season, we really didn't even see him on the show itself getting airtime. So I think if, you know, I had heard him say something like, oh, I'm being, you know, I'm getting along with everyone and this is kind of my strategy so that I don't get nominated early on, then I think I would have been more like, oh, yeah, I really, you know, I'm impressed by that strategy or something. But we never even really heard anything from him about his perspective on where he was in the game. I think mm-hmm. I kind of like, even though it's voted by the public, I like hearing, you know, if people have a strategy or how they're playing the game.
Right. And yeah, and I know you didn't watch Big Brother UK this summer, so I apologize. I bring up Chris.
I think a lot of people did. So
one of the things that is, I know there are people who use the diary room as their sounding board and as their therapy session, and they do get everything what they're thinking out and off their chest. And yeah, some of it is going to be contingent on Big Brother asking the right questions. I think Big Brother was really good at asking Priya the mm-hmm. right questions, so you got to see what she was thinking. Mm-hmm. But and Chris on the Big Brother UK this summer, he just was having a hard time relating to anybody in the house, and so he would just dump out everything he was thinking in the diary room, and it just made it really compelling. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't think that Ryan necessarily felt the need to use the diary room as his sounding board, because I think he felt comfortable voicing what he was thinking to others in the house. And so it just maybe didn't come up as naturally as it might for some others mm-hmm. when he was in the diary room.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Yep. I could see that. And another factor I was thinking of is I noticed on social media, a lot of the ex housemates, we're all, you know, Team Ryan. So if people had were a fan of one, you know, for, you know, Sandra or Lawson or Sam, and we're looking at, oh, who should I support based on them? You know, they could be getting the word out that way too. Put the edge over the other two.
Yeah, take a quick look at that, because on Wednesday, again, we're down to our final three of Sky, Travis, and Ryan. Like you said, they asked each of the prior housemates who it was that they were backing, mm-hmm. basically. And Travis had Aisha, no surprise.
Yep.
Leo and Lena.
Yep, and Leo had said that on his exit interview.
Yeah. And Sky had Jason, Richard, and Priya. Uh-huh. And then Ryan pretty much had everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's why they announced that there were 22 housemates total this season.
Oh man.
22 housemates total. I think that was a bit much.
Yeah.
and nobody was even evicted, if you remember, until week three.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until like the third week. We did our premiere, we did our week one coverage, we did our week two coverage. It wasn't until our week three coverage that finally Gemma was voted out.
Right.
22 housemates total. But so you had 19 housemates voting, 19 minus 6 years. So we had like 13 housemates said that they were going to back Ryan. So yeah, to your point, if someone that you liked was in those 13, whether it be Kat, Lisa, someone, that guy, meaning Marina and Tom, throughout my notes, I just refused to write Marina. I think I just put someone.
I love that those two were paired up when they were coming out in their little dance moves. It was just like, oh, perfect.
Yes. I think you have a good point there too. It's like if you were a fan of these 13 people, and these 13 people, even prior to the finale, were like Team Ryan, mm-hmm. that's going to potentially impact the voting.
Yeah, they're saying things like, let's let a genuine person win, and you know, something like that. So,
yeah. I do want to comment a little bit on that when the old housemates came out to the dance number.
Okay.
I was disappointed. Like,
what did you want to see?
2012. It was a mix of like the Oats Alalela dance number, followed by the Gangnam Style dance number. It's like kind of like a mashup of the two.
Right.
It was like they choreographed it.
You could tell like they had all been like practicing something together. A lot of these finales, like, there's elements of them that remind me of kind of the heyday. I don't still watch it, but the heyday of American Idol, like how they had the montage of these final three with like baby pictures and stuff like that. And yeah, they are supposed to have the ex people perform something, not just come out with, you know, lame dance moves where you can't even tell who it is.
I had to like pause and rewind because a couple of the people who were looking a little similar. I was like, did David just dip Priya and she kicked her leg up in the air really high? I'm like, oh no, that was Penny, I guess. Like, I didn't even realize that until after the fact.
Yeah, they weren't going in order of eviction or anything. So
yeah, they paired up Kat and Lawson together. Mm-hmm. And Lawson, of course, did the Lost Wing.
Yeah.
And Kat did the magic.
Yeah.
In front of her face, which, I mean, that was fun.
Yeah.
And Dion and Jason did their dance move from the dance off on the Perfect Pairs competition.
Yeah.
I said Tom and some blonde I didn't recognize.
Hey, at least you recognize Tom. He'll appreciate that. And
Priya came out solo, which was a little odd, but but even like I look back at, so 2012 was like the pinnacle of the dance number of the finale. I'd say I went back and looked at 2013. It was a little less so. They came out waving flags. And kind of dancing a little bit, but it was 2012, huge choreographed number. I think back to the beginning of the season. What did the season start out though with like a Cirque du Soleil type huge dance number?
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't the players, it wasn't the housemates, but it was like some
Sonya
strange...
was involved.
Yeah. And that's when I first realized she was pregnant.
Yep.
I was like, oh, is a little person gonna pop out in that part of the act? No. But yeah, so yeah, they came out dancing. And as we continue kind of to look at the structure of the finale, I think we have typically seen that the way the finale kind of is set up is you have the three people in the house seated by the pool. They do, they spend a lot more time with the housemates, the evicted housemates, than they do in the Big Brother US or even Big Brother UK.
Yeah. Sonya makes sure she's no props. She makes sure that everyone gets a question by having those little panels of three people.
Yeah. Like there was like, and they kind of did like little headlines. There was like a section on, you know, BBAU romances and conflicts and a section talking about the voice of Big Brother. And but yeah, they nice and systematically got everybody out there eventually.
Yeah, it was almost like a morning show or something. They had the different segments. Like, okay, you three are going to be the experts on Big Brother talking to you. And then only one person got a fan question. So I think it was kind of a nice way to be like, we'll put two of the people who aren't as popular with somebody who has a good question.
Yeah, there we go.
And they were all the questions were pretty much about romance.
Yeah. And so like, it seems, well, we can't say our Aisha and Travi still together because he obviously came out of the house. I liked how he came out and then, but first of all, was it him or Ryan that tossed his jacket out to the audience? I think it was Travis. They were coming out. Travis did. He came out, he took his tuxedo jacket off and flipped it in the air and threw it at the audience. I'm like, production's probably pissed. Coming up there.
And Sky took so much time too. My goodness.
Well, yeah, they were eating it up.
Yep.
Brian was good. I mean, this was, you know, Sky and Travis really wanted, this was what they were like waiting for, I think, the exit and the reaction. And I was grinning like an idiot when Travis went over to Aisha and kissed her. Like that was probably my favorite part of the finale. Travis reuniting with Aisha, to be honest.
Aww.
I just was just smiling. I was like, oh, how sweet.
Yeah.
And I I did like how when Appliances Online gave Travis and Sky their $5,000 wasn't a gift voucher, it was like cash.
Yeah,
they got cash. how Travis was like, thank you universe, and he made the little heart thing that Sky makes.
Yeah.
Completely mocking her.
Yeah,
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah,
like, just more why I like Travis. But
and it was neat that it was the two guys that came in together as the final two. That was kind of an interesting perspective
I'm
a bit of Travia.
We'll get to Travia. We will definitely get to Travia. I'm surprised that they didn't do some sort of twist where, like, you know, the couples may have been broken up, but if a couple makes it to the final three mm-hmm. together, whoa. they win, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm surprised that cool. wasn't a thing at some point. That would have been, that could have been interesting.
Yeah.
But it would have maybe like interfered too much with the nominations. You wouldn't have had former partners ever nominating each other.
True.
So we had, you know, like you said, the big discussions amongst the former house guests were about the romances. You said, you know, Travis and Aisha, they seem into each other. That's great. Lawson and Kat, it's strange. They don't sound like they're together, but they don't. They're not together. I'm not quite sure what's up there.
Sounds like. And I got the impression that it's like they want to, even though they showed a clip of them like on the Today Show, the Australian version, they, it's like they don't want to.
I think that's the G'day Show.
That they don't want to, they don't want to like open it up. Like they've made a decision maybe before the finale. Okay, we're not going to talk about it here, like, because they talked about it so much coming out of the show, and maybe part of it is, you know, reality set in a little bit, but maybe it's, you know, there were some things that they had to adjust to and are kind of deciding, okay, we don't want to be this public, you know.
I'm hoping that's it. I mean,
because he is moving to where she lives, just moving in with Sam, but they just kind of, he like, well, yeah, Kat lives there too, but it's like they came in kind of acting like, well, I don't know.
Let's not talk about it. Let's distance ourselves from the show and then let's see what works. I'm hoping that's the case. I mean, it's, and again, when I say that I hope it works out between them, this is predicated on the fact that we already know it's not going to work out between Lawson and his ex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not, like, I've, if, you know, more speed to him if that could have worked. But if mm-hmm. that is not working out, then it would be nice if this did work out.
Uh-huh.
But I was more amused by the Sam and Sandra thing.
Yeah.
So Sam is now single.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if any of that has to do with the show. I thought that
He said something about after the show, some things that happened. I don't know. Maybe
it was hard to tell if it was like traced back to what happened. I couldn't tell if it was like something that happened on the show mm-hmm. that caused it, or something that happened after that. I don't know. Because I thought that Sam was pretty respectful of his relationship outside the house while he was in the house.
Right. He didn't call Lawson. He did say, like, make these weird comments about like, oh yeah, we've talked about hooking up or something. Yeah. Like, but yeah, he was, you know, didn't ever really ever cross a line. It was, right. You know, he put up the boundaries, so.
But good for Sandra. She is now hooking up with one of Sam's best friends.
Yeah.
Which is just hilarious.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it, that seems like it'd be a fun part of Australia to hang out in. So you have Lawson living with Sam, who's in the same area as Kat. I can only assume that one of Sam's best mates is in the same area, which means Sandra's in the, I don't know. That could be a fun place to visit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say and I think those are like the big things that came out on finale night. One thing that they do also do traditionally is which is something I always like, is the, here's what you missed in the outside world while you were in the house.
Uh-huh. The news.
The news. From the 80 days in isolation.
Yes.
Like I'm sitting there waiting, like I was wondering like what they were going to talk about, because I was thinking, well, you know, they did talk about ISIS already in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So that isn't something new for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's Ebola, but I think that's a bigger deal here in the States than Australia. Like it was more was made out of it, I think. And even like in the States, there's like only like, you know, it impacted like three people.
And the housemates were joking about it though. I think they were expecting to get news on it, like, oh, it's everywhere now.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, is that them being like prescient? Like they didn't right. wait till you hear.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, well, oh yeah, Robin Williams died. And I was like, but nope, I looked back, that was August 11th, which is before they went in the house, so they'd heard that. So I think the big thing that I knew that they didn't know that I was expecting reaction from was Joan Rivers dying, I guess. But there wasn't a whole, it seemed like to be a lot of local news that didn't really, a lot of it went over my head.
Right. But, that's how we learn our Australia news. Along with the housemates. They were happy about that football score.
Oh yeah, all the football scores.
There's one day a year where we get our Australian news.
and it only covers about a fourth of the year, but that's fine. I don't know whatever happens with the other, just those 80 days I'm good with. So Sky ends up going out third. I did like how when Sonia was announcing, and the person of next evicted and in third place is, and someone in the audience is here go, Sky! And I was like, he keeps putting it out in the universe more than her, apparently.
That guy has a bigger connection to the universe.
Oh, yes. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, she...
Watch, it was like Leo in the background.
The camera cuts to him. He, like, ducks into the audience. It did have the strange Canadian accent. Yeah, but I was like... Oh, it took forever for her to get down the runway.
Yeah.
Travis came in. I did like when the winner was, you have Travis and Ryan in there and they're not going to announce. And in second place, Travis, at that point you have to announce the winner. I mean, it's okay. So, you know, Travis isn't there. I liked the flame jets behind the couch. And they seem to really get a kick out of that too.
I
need those. I'm on my couch right now as we record this. I need like the flame jets to like pop up behind me. I mean, yeah, I would ceiling would catch on fire, but I want that. And then we have our winner Ryan, who seemed to get. I think I did see one comment on Twitter about like the amount of air. Ryan seemed to get less air time than Travis and Sky did. But also throughout the season, it also might have turned into like an awkward Jake like interview where I don't know exactly what I mean. Ryan's much more well spoken. I just don't know. He seemed like he is in total shock, and I don't know much of what he would have said.
And even his reaction was kind of compared to like someone like a Tim. Or Ben got super emotional. It was just very muted. Yeah. And, he saw his family, but I just wanted something like the past two seasons where it's just someone that is comfortable kind of being on their own in the house too and really milking it. I don't know. I wanted more fanfare with, which I think like if it had been Sky or Travis at the end, it just would have been like maybe more amusing. Oh. Like we would have had the camera on them a little bit more.
Yeah.
They did eat up his time though too.
They did, but like you said, I'm wondering if they say, "Well, let's give proportionally to each of the finalists some interview time, that directly relates to the amount of time that they actually spent talking in the game." Right.
Seems like they didn't like. I mean, Sonia was really kind of teasing Ryan that it was maybe halfway through the season when she was just like, oh, I haven't seen much of you. And, I don't know if Big Brother was very happy with him the first half. I don't know. Like, do you think the series is happy with him as a winner? Is he a good representative for them?
I think, for example, if you look at, Big Brother Australia 2015, I think that they would rather bring back a Travis or a Sky to counsel whoever next year's David is in the sanctuary.
Right.
Whereas Ryan, might not be able to be bothered by it to do it. I think he's just less dynamic.
Yeah.
I think that. So from that perspective, maybe they're not happy, but at the same time, I mean, it's kind of, I think the nice thing about the overseas versions of Big Brother is they really don't have much incentive to to skew the results because whoever ends up winning is the most popular player based on popular vote. Mm-hmm. So it's like they should be happy in terms of the most popular player won.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you said, you know, if they're looking to capitalize on the winner's personality, that Ryan's much more inward directed, and they, I think they can do less with him than they could have with, say, a Ben or a Tim.
Right. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I'm the same way. It's just for me, you know, like, again, he seems like a great guy. I don't want to seem like I'm saying anything bad about him as a person or anything. It's just as a viewer, I'm on the side of like, I would have wanted a different winner.
And to be fair, though, like they brought Ben back as well. Like, you know, Tim counseled David, but Ben came back and counseled Travis.
That's true.
So I could very well see Travis.
He's kind of a fan favorite.
I could see Travis then paying it forward next time. It could be kind of a fun series of events where Ben counseled Travis, and now next year Travis counsels somebody.
Yeah. Or Sky comes in and does a makeover on someone, or Travis leads a Travia game.
With that, we don't need to see more of her.
No. What's your deal? What sour do you on? I think you were a Sky fan at the very beginning, right?
What?
No, never.
At the very beginning?
Yeah.
No, I was. It's it just seemed, I think it was maybe when Leo came in, and it seemed like she was much more calculating, not in terms of like the nominations, you know, mm-hmm. but it seemed like just to the extent to which she was kind of playing things up for the cameras, escalated maybe around the time of the singing challenge of the nothing, no one can stop me now challenge.
Yeah.
But I liked it. Maybe it was also the fact at the beginning, I didn't like at the very, very, like
when they introduced her,
when they introduced her during launch night, I was like, oh my God. But then I quickly grew to like her.
Yes.
And I think part of it was in contrast to how much I liked her on launch night.
Yeah. She was different from her video package that we saw.
Yes.
And then she was kind of an underdog at the beginning. Everyone was sort of picking on her. Gemma was, you know, making these comments. And so she was just, she had these amusing diary room sessions. And
I think that's part of the same reasons that I kind of grew to dislike David a bit, mm-hmm. was that I liked him as the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he, from shaving the beard and the confidence he got from that, which was, you know, admittedly early on, to the getting the lead singing role in the video. I think there's a certain point where
the song, it ruined these two people for you. You're not a fan of divadom.
They became divas. Mm-hmm. They became divas. And I can't remember which role David had in the hotel challenge, if he was on the staff or if he was on the,
he was
a guest.
A guest. I think he and Sky were both, yes, because we remember we had, I think it was like Leo and Lawson and somebody else behind in the kitchen, sort of like commenting as him. I think were in their hotel uniforms at that time. And also it makes sense because it was the nominated people, and David and Sky were always nominated early
That's
on.
Right.
So, yeah. So that caused a little bit of diva behavior as well.
So I shifted a little bit there. But you know, let's not ignore our bottom three from finale week. I think we were, like you said earlier on, we were much more successful at calling this.
Yep.
Not only did we get the right people, we got the right order.
Yay.
Although we didn't count on the surprise snap eviction of Ned and Kelly.
Aww.
Although we should have seen that coming.
Yeah, I think usually the dog goes a little bit earlier. This was pretty nice that the dogs got to go way to the end.
It's a little sad that the dogs lasted a little longer than half the neighbors.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had so Ned and Kelly out the door. I do like that they have a dog each season.
Mm-hmm.
And Penny's comment that she felt sadder now than when some of the people had left.
Yeah.
Like, talking about when Ned and Kelly left.
Hey, I have to agree with her there. I mean, yeah. I was more sad to see Ned and Kelly leave than Marina.
Yeah. So we had the strange multi-room dance party.
Yeah.
I have no words. I've got nothing.
No.
They each had a different dance persona, and they had to choreograph a routine that went from room to room.
What was that for?
Yeah, just to do it.
Yeah,
it wasn't. I don't think it was. They won nothing.
Yeah.
There were no KFC stackers or anything on the line. they did that. They also had to. I think the other big thing on the Tuesday episode was they had to nominate to win. They basically had to go in and say, "Who do you think? Who did you think was going to end up winning the entire thing?" And that actually had
different housemates result than the outside housemates.
It matched my thinking.
Yes,
actually, it had Travis winning, followed by Sky. Ryan and Priya tied at third. Third and fourth, everyone look at it, and then Penny and Lena in last. And
you know, poor Priya made a comment like, "I'm not happy with third or tied for fourth," and you know, she should have been happy with third because she got fourth.
We don't really know if they have differing. They always talk about the $200,000 that the winner gets. We don't spend a lot of time. I can't remember if Travis ends up getting anything or.
I think it's just from appliances online. He got the 10,000. Sky got 5,000.
Did he get 10,000 from appliances online?
I think so.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Because really, otherwise, it's like Aisha's doing better. I mean, she's basically second place with what she got.
And then somebody pointed out, and I can't remember if we talked about last week, if it was pointed out during this week, how the neighbors... did not get anything from appliances online, and only the actual house guests got things from appliances online.
Right. This is the first time I think we heard Sonia say for being an original housemate, because now we've had that distinction that Priya and Lena didn't get that.
Which makes me wonder if they had like an original agreement with appliances online that, okay, we'll have this many, we're going to have 18 house guests. So can you give us 18 vouchers? And then the neighbor thing was, maybe the neighbor thing was thought of up at last minute. I was like, well, let's try this. Maybe this will twist things up.
Uh-huh.
And so, well, we didn't have a contract with appliances online to provide 22 certificates, just the 18.
Probably. Know. Yeah. They didn't expect it to go this rampant with the neighbors. They didn't know that people were moving next door. Those people don't need appliances.
They just come over and borrow all our appliances.
Yeah. I think they should have done it more like, rather than everybody getting that, sort of like the fan favorite award where, you know, then it would be fun. Then we could have like a separate vote for, okay, vote for who, you know, of the people evicted, who deserves, you know, $20,000. From a plant, you know, maybe they could get a voucher for 5,000 and then like 15,000 from appliances online. I guess they get the weekly advertising that they probably want, but after a while, it just got kind of embarrassing.
because you'd hear Sonia start to say it. And you'd be like, oh, here we go for being such a great housemate. You get, and I always felt so bad because like you're watching this person like reacting, like you're watching Jake react to getting this. And Sonia's telling him because you're such an original housemate or because you're such a great housemate. And you're like, he thinks he's the only person that maybe got this. He thinks this is something special. And I felt bad that could have been the case. I'm not saying it was. So I'm sure that somebody out of all those people was thinking, oh, I got something.
Yeah.
And then later they find out, oh, no, everybody got that.
Right.
Except for the neighbors.
Right.
And
then saying, because you were, for being such a legend, you know, that Sonia had to say the same thing every time. And it just sounds silly when you're talking to people that were not a legend.
So. Yeah. And yes. And yeah. Then the KFC is saying, this has been so good. Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's really all that happened on Tuesday. There was some follow-up from Travia, but I want to save Travia for its own discussion. But yeah, Lena ends up going out first, which surprised none of us. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that surprised me was that the realization that Lena and Sonia had never actually met, that none of the neighbors had met.
Oh, true.
And so that was it was interesting that Lena had called that out. But otherwise, I was like, okay, let's end this interview.
Yeah, you know, and that might have made, I know both of us were not that excited about the neighbor twist, but you know, if they had been introduced in that way with a video package and meeting Sonia, it might have made given them a little more fanfare, get to know them a little bit better before they're in the house, like the intruders we do. So
yeah,
we didn't, but Leo got one.
Leo got a video package.
Yeah,
did you say Marina did not?
I don't think she did, because she was the Sleeping Beauty,
right?
And so that might be contributing to why, you know, whereas Leo felt like a regular housemate.
That could very well be. Because they teased Leo with like a partial package the day before, and then they've got this.
Yeah.
They got to see all of Leo's package. So did everybody that showered with them. I think that's actually really interesting. Which makes it feel like a little bit, at least with the neighbors, they're flying by the seat of their pants. It's like, it would have been nice to see a video package, now that you mention it, for each of them. Because we didn't get to see any of them. We were introduced to them as a group. We didn't get to see, like you said, the individual intro for each person.
Yep.
I would have liked that, actually. That's a good call.
They could have teased it, you know, like, look who's moving in. Instead, it was just like, wait, what? We're just as confused as the housemates, I think.
Yeah. And the conversation, I think Sonia knew just as much about these housemates as we did.
Right.
I don't think she really knew what to say to Lena.
Right.
I think the one interesting thing we saw was during her, during the video package that they show of Lena, there's a part where Penny is calling Lena and Priya a toxic power couple, which I don't remember from the show, but
no.
I thought really interesting.
Yeah.
And kind of true. But other than that, I was like, okay, we've spent enough time with Lena. Let's get to fifth place.
Yeah. I kind of had that same reaction with the Secrets and Lies dinner too, that I just sort of thought, like, how much better would it have been if it was six original, or, you know, counting Leo, like six original housemates here, where you have the whole, you know, 80 days of footage to see things, where we're seeing Lena and Penny say things that are, you know, no one really cares, or no one's saying anything about them. So it's like, oh, she's annoying me today.
Yeah, let's jump to the secret dinner. I don't know if we have much else to say on the Tuesday night evictions. I think, you know, Penny went. I think the only things I have in my notes were, Penny continues to have the best facial expressions of any reality TV contestant ever.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we got more crying, which I know is frightening to you.
Oh, gosh. No. Between the crying and the laughing and they're mostly the crying. It's just scary. And then Priya, I like how Sonia said she's been unapologetically evicted.
Right. She kept saying that towards the end. She said it a lot at the beginning.
It was like her intro package, Priya's intro package, introduced the concept of unapologetically Priya.
Yes.
We didn't hear anything of that for like 9 weeks. And then suddenly you could turn it into a drinking game.
And then she wanted a t-shirt of it.
I was like, this is not a thought. Yeah, this is not a thought you're just having now, Priya. This is something that you've thought about getting before, having a t-shirt that says unapologetically Priya. This is not a spur of the moment thing for you.
Right. And that was one of the things from her intro package. I was like, oh, this is going to be annoying. Like, I don't really like this. And then I liked her throughout the season. And then it started coming back like, no.
It ding, marry, kill.
Okay.
The phrase unapologetically Priya, Sky doing the little heart thing with her fingers,
okay.
And massive.
Oh, man. See, I feel like, okay, massive, it's not something that we say here, really. So it kind of became like a joke that Big Brother was in on. So I'll marry that.
I co-sign that. Okay. I'm agreeing. Yes.
And I didn't mind it.
I liked that of the three. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of an unfair balance there.
Yeah. And then heart. Well, ding the heart. Other people do it. So it's not like she just like came up with like, I'm going to do that. And true. But it is kind of, yeah, it's kind of like, it's, I don't know, like a Taylor Swift kind of a thing. Like she's trying to be a pop star or something. Like she has fans. So.
It shows her age too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And Priya, like she's old enough to not need to be coming up with some catchphrase like that. So we'll kill that.
Okay. I you know what? I completely agree on all three of those.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So Monday, I think like the big thing, and I called it, the secret video dinner, although it was it was kind of blah blah blah.
It wasn't as dramatic as the ones before. It didn't have that Last Supper feel where they're in a dark room and also the consequence was just like too extreme. Like there's no way someone's gonna do that. Where you stay in the treehouse till the finale night. So
yeah, and like I think like you said, like Ryan and Travis weren't going to react negatively to really anything that was shown.
Mm-hmm.
And then Priya and Lena and Penny weren't really around enough for there to be anything that was too inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
Priya was just gonna. As if for Priya to be unapologetic, she apologizes for a lot, but she technically she actually doesn't. But she tries to explain away a lot. We didn't really talk about that a lot when the loved ones were nominating in week 10.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like the one person who, whenever she was nominated by somebody and the loved one was saying, "I'm nominating Priya for this reason," she'd be like, "Well, that was completely taken out." She'd be trying to explain it while the person was talking, and everybody would want her to basically be quiet.
Right.
It just, there wasn't as much. Like you could count in 2012 on Ben, from 2 years ago, on him making a big deal out of anything that was said about him.
Uh huh.
Because you still, and you had, Layla was going to be fine with stuff, and then I'm forgetting the name of the long-haired, slightly hippie chick.
Estelle,
thank you.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, she was going to probably cry about something, but she was a little bit just, I don't know. It was a good mix of people. I don't know. Maybe they didn't have as much to work with, which is a little bit the fault of production in terms of what things that they had to put out there.
But imagine if Dave was still there and stuff, like to have him and Priya with the things they would say about each other.
And
or Leo to get hurt by something that Sky said.
Or Lisa or Katie.
I think this was true.
I think it was a mix of Big Brother not having put out enough situations for people for them to source content from.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a mix of them overlooking content that they could have used, and then just also the people who are in the finale just not necessarily being as, you know, volatile as things you could have said. So like from Lena, we learned that she doesn't like Ryan, and that she didn't feel she could tell Penny anything. It just was like a lot of Lena and Priya are together.
And it's just not going to really affect Ryan to hear something from Lena, who hasn't been there very long.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of people calling Sky, you know, stupid or dumb, but a lot of that was from early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to explain that away. Although Sky did go and, you know, go to bed and cry. All of that was a little bit more about, you know, Priya stirring the pot and telling her that I told you that Penny didn't like you.
And they had to go to the sanctuary together.
Well, that was actually a good bit. The Sky was pushing for herself and Penny to go.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was kind of nice in terms of them trying to come to terms and bury the hatchet on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then the Skies package was just all about her attraction to Ryan.
Yeah, that seemed a little unfair. I guess that was the secret or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit about Lena, her not finding Lena interesting. Mm-hmm. And at some point she nominated Priya because she didn't think she could trust her. But mm-hmm. it just seemed, I mean, it wasn't like, was it like last year when, you know, when Ed would, you know, vowed that he would never nominate Jade, and then at one point he does give some points to Jade for some reason,
right?
And which Tim then has a field day with, and although I think that was after Ed had left the house, I think that it was
interesting. So they showed some other things from other people.
I think so. I think so.
Right,
I
don't
think,
because it would be, you know, cause a reaction.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I don't think Ed was there to defend himself
last
at that
long.
Point.
Yeah, as long.
Yeah, so yeah, they had their final dinner and kind of week treehouse banishment punishment, which didn't go anywhere. We learned that Ryan is very annoyed by peanut butter jelly time, which led to this really strange argument between Priya and Ryan, and how she's they're not mature enough for him, but then he doesn't want to tell them to stop being who they are. And then it was just a really strange argument that Big Brother, in his classic way, kind of diffused by going, so.
Right. Yeah, because it was right up to when they were supposed to, like, have an announcement or something, right?
Yeah, they were right before they went into I think it was they were just being announced about the secret dinner. The secret dinner, I think. Mm-hmm. At least in my notes, that's what the listing of it, the order of it mm-hmm. is.
They also had to play cricket for KFC.
I forgot about the KFC chip. They said you're gonna wait, what, 20, what was
20
what
for 20 or something?
Yeah, they had to hit 20 balls into a net in 20 minutes. And it looked like it required some skill. I mean, it was like across the pool and into the net, but they would win a KFC banquet, and I'm like, what does a KFC banquet look like? It looks an awful lot like sitting on the lawn eating KFC.
Something with like hash browns inside the chicken. Or
that would be the double down.
Okay,
now, the double down is this amazing.
Oh man,
I've never had it,
yeah.
But I believe it's the one where they replace the bun with two pieces of chicken.
Oh man,
I could be completely wrong on this, and I apologize for all the KFC purists out there. I'm sure we'll get comments in the comment section.
It should be called the Double Down Under over there.
Oh yes,
call me KFC.
Where's the bell? Oh, is the app? Oh, I should have had the app open. The Double Down Under. I was like, I know of the Double Down. There was a lot of uproar in the U.S. when the Double Down came out. It sounded like they were just introducing the Double Down there. But it's like when the concept of this, at least the Double Down, I believe, in the States, was the one where they had like the two pieces of chicken acting as the bun and then everything else thrown inside in between it. And I was like, oh, they're just introducing this now and they are all going to die in there. It's going to be so sad. And it's going to make it to the finale.
Oh, funny.
We saw Sky defacing the sauna.
Yeah.
And we never got an answer to the question of what can Sky deface of yours? Or what can Big Brother deface of Sky?
Yes. And we had Big Brother's birthday. It was the BBAU1K. #BBAU1K. 1,000 episodes.
Yeah. And those of you who are looking to become Big Brother Australia historians, I believe the first season was back in 2001. And you can find all sorts of different random channels on YouTube that carry many of these things. And I'm still slowly working my way through. I think I'm just up to like the first week of Big Brother Australia 2003.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But then I think it takes like a break from like 2008 to 2011.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few years where it isn't there.
So were you mad at the montage because you might be spoiled?
I fast forwarded through it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
They showed winners.
They did show some previous winners. I liked that it kind of had, they brought, and this is back when it was like down to the, there was the final two, I think, where one of them was going to win, and they kind of had all the previous housemates come back, and Tim came back, and some other people talked to other winners, like reflected on their experiences. Yes. I thought that was a very nice montage.
Yeah, it was.
I did end up fast forwarding through a chunk of that because I did not want to be spoiled on previous winners. That's
funny.
But I'd say my highlight, and I've been pushing it off personally, is Travia. And I have in my notes, Travia is greater than Hot Seat. I like Travia much better than Hot Seat, or what I like to call Dave's Hot Seat. He's the one that initiated. So what did you think of Travia?
I was a little confused at why it caused so much conflict. Like, is Priya just so competitive that, you know, even this game that's so arbitrary, it's obviously just Travis picking whatever he wants.
Yeah, you know? It's a very arbitrary game.
Yes.
And I think it was just because it seemed to become very apparent to her early on that there's no way that she can win this, mm-hmm. that she can follow the rules and get questions quote unquote right. Uh-huh. And she will still not win because it is Travia. And I think that's the fun of the game.
Uh-huh.
But it's almost like in improv, they talk a lot about what's the game within the game.
Uh-huh.
I mean, yes, you suddenly have a game where ostensibly it is to, get the most points. In an improv game, but sometimes you quickly find out the game within the game is actually to make sure this one person gets no words out of their mouth at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like they try to say something and you just shut them down. But it's like you discover that that's kind of what the game has become.
Mm-hmm.
It's never like this
sort of like Rob always saying, like not knowing how to pronounce Jordan Kalish or Jordan Kalish.
Exactly. That's the game within the game that you kind of. And this quickly became the let's not give. No matter what she does, there's no way that Priya is going to win this game.
And that just does not sit well with her.
Oh. Like, I would love to see Travia be a competition in 2015. it's a little bit like almost like Simon Says on steroids in terms of you're just messing with people. And. Like I think legitimately the first time that I can't even remember what the first question was, but she rang. You're supposed to ring your bell and say your name, and then be called on and give an answer. Well, the answer to the first question was Priya, and she rang her bell and said Priya. And I think Travis interpreted that as, well, she just rang the bell and gave her answer.
Uh-huh.
Or the other interpretation is that that he wanted to give Ryan a chance because he didn't get the rules right away. And
mm-hmm.
then I don't know, it was just really hilarious, plus the fact that a lot of the questions were, well, what is this game, and then Ryan rings is like massive, and like that was the right answer.
Yeah.
There was a lot of in jokes between the two of them, or just being on the same wavelength as Travis, which Priya was going to be nowhere near that. But yeah, the extent to which she just, like, she puts the bell on the floor. No, I'm just choosing to ring it while it's on the floor. I'm like, bull, bull, bull.
I'd love to see Priya be in an improv class.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, she's, like, more no but than yes and.
Yeah.
but it did take us to some nice, of course, the next day, Big Brother has Travis and Priya folding laundry together. And he basically calls her out for being a spoil sport. And I think this is the most serious and kind of on the attack that I think we've ever seen Travis. Like he's not being like roll with the punches, here for a good time. He's kind of like going at her and calling her out more than I think we've ever seen him do.
I think he did that a lot in the beginning though, like with that whole fight with Ryan, and I think early on he was very combative.
Confrontational.
Yeah. So he's mellowed out, and so it just sort of stood out now. Because especially he and Priya seem to kind of be on the same side.
Because wasn't there one point where it was like Leo, Sky, Travis, and Priya were saying like, here's who I want to see in the final four.
Yep.
It's just, it did, you're right, because it did seem a little bit strange to me that he then chose to kind of step away from that. And I don't know, maybe it's the fact that they're already in the finale and he can drop true feelings he had about Priya I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was such a big blow up for such a small thing. Well, I think both in that, you kind of bring that up, both in terms of Priya's reaction to Travia, where she couldn't just roll with the punches and she had to basically forcefully make her point that, well, if you can do this, Travis, I can do this. Well, this game isn't about you. It's about Travis.
It's not Previa.
Yeah, exactly.
Previously but, on Travia. Previously.
That was strange to watch. But I was very amused by the whole Travia thing, and I'm hoping we see a revisit of it again. so that's kind of like the end of the season.
I know.
Like, looking back, mm-hmm. well, I was, you know, and anybody that wishes to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. One of the benefits of becoming a patron is that you do get access to the Rob Has a patron patron only Facebook group, and you can see how to get to how to the benefits of becoming a patron for Rob as a podcast. If you go to the Rob as a website.com.
And patron casts every month.
Yes. Patron casts every month. Mm-hmm. You can go to Rob as a website.com, and there's a special, just, and then in the sidebar, there's a link to that says become a monthly patron of Rob as a podcast, or you can go to patreon.com/RHAP.
I would love if someone would call into a patron cast and just be like, Rob, why aren't you watching Big Brother Australia? Just harass them.
Yes, please do.
The patrons demand it.
But someone on in the patron Facebook page posted a link to an article that was discussing the likelihood of Big Brother Australia coming back in 2015. And it seems
so I've
like
heard that the ratings are not good, and that a lot of our comments on our when this podcast goes up, a lot of people are saying like some of the things like the neighbors or these like double evictions are because the ratings are really down. And so I was wondering, what does the article say? It seemed like it's likely to come back.
It said that there were rumors that it was not going to come back in 2015, which means it could or could not.
I wonder if they've had these rumors before, or if this is like,
yeah. And
I hope it does. I'll be sad.
Yeah, this season wasn't without its problems.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked from the beginning about the wonky kind of schedule of how somebody
they cut the schedule back.
Well, I'll say, not just how they cut the schedule back, but how they would have, how somebody would become there'd be a new head of house on Monday, but then on Wednesday somebody would go home and it could potentially be the head of house, although that never ended up happening. But then the task it begins at a different time than the whole. So somebody, like for instance, Lisa went home in the middle of the hotel task.
Yeah.
And it's just the weird kind of scheduling and coordinating of things, and not mm-hmm. having, like, Big Brother UK does it really nicely in that there's always eviction on a Friday night, and then new things kind of kick off a little bit over the weekend, but really hit the ground running on Monday, and then it goes through the entire week. And mm-hmm. you have different kinds of nominations, and like usually there's a certain point where the nominations are considered quote unquote final. And so there's a period of days where some people may be nominated, but then you might have people added or subtracted from that. And
mm-hmm.
There just seemed to be, and compared to the last two seasons, something just seemed off.
I agree.
About this season.
Yeah. And the casting I thought was great. We really liked, we had a lot of characters that we were rooting for from the beginning, and different, you know, unpredictable things happening with those dynamics. But yeah, maybe we need a Big Brother Australia think tank. Be like, bring back Surly. You know, we didn't have a Surly character this time around.
There was no, Surly. It seemed like there are a lot of things that were changed from like the last couple seasons that were working.
Yeah, the nomination superpower we talked about a lot is always the same.
When the nomination superpower was always the same.
Yeah.
There was something off about never having the same head of house twice. Mm-hmm. There was something off about that. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Even though I'm not a big fan, like I wasn't a huge fan of those competition shows last year when they were competing for the power. It was interesting to see, you know, to have it based on something different besides, you know, popularity, or, you know, at least it was transparent. We could see who won who won it, or who was going for it.
Right. And there was something nice and simple about the way they assigned it in 2012, where the person who was evicted got to assign it to somebody who was still in the house.
Yeah.
Because that kind of at least would keep the, you know, if the assumption is that whoever has the superpower has a slight edge, then it's constantly shifting where you don't, where at least one, the group for whom, if there are two groups in the house and somebody goes home from one group, then odds are somebody from that group will then get the superpower, and the group that was quote unquote saved is now going to be maybe a little bit more cautious because of the superpower now. In the other hands of the other group.
Right.
The, you know, losing the, like you talked about, we lost Surly. The fact it was just nice for those of you who didn't see previous seasons, you know, Surly was this fish that lived in the bathroom.
It's kind of like a Marsha, you know, if you watch BB Canada, Marsha the Moose.
Yeah, I think Marsha the Moose was almost like directly inspired by Surly. It seemed.
There's some UK ones like that too.
Yeah, the fish would live in like the drain, and he would give a secret task. There weren't many secret tasks.
No, and that's always adds a fun element, I think.
Yeah. The thing, you know, I missed the nominations room where you got into the booth, and it just seemed to have more gravitas. Mm-hmm. It's hard to just like put it on like one big thing, but if I had to, it would almost be that Big Brother didn't seem as present and involved as it did in previous seasons, like being, this is the being, this is the entity that's in control. And is an ever-present reminder. It almost seemed like, let's have Big Brother maybe take a little bit of a step back and just let the players play out. But I think that is one of the great things about the Big Brother is the role of Big Brother. I'm wondering if that's it. I'm not quite sure. It did seem like they were going a little bit out of their way, especially during the Sony interviews, to create drama in terms of like what they would announce to who and the things that they would kind of say. It seemed like she, at a certain point, she was trying to stir things up. But I still remember was it 2012 where they kind of they pretended to have a second house?
Yeah. Yes.
There
was more like Big Brother playing tricks and. Rather than throwing in new people.
Yeah. Because I think just it's seeing how the current house gates, how the current house guests and housemates can relate and react and respond to whatever Big Brother throws at them. Yes, you want to see them interact, but I'd say even though we got our remote control task, I think it paled in comparison by how much fun the remote control task was in previous years.
Right. And I think the neighbors, they could have been treated a different way. I think having, you know, just two of them in and out so quickly, and then the other two would have been if they had been nominated. I think the timing of the friends and family nominating was probably not great because they went for the heavy hitters. And so Lena and Penny escaped. But also, I mean, either way, it's pretty anticlimactic to have them sort of just... You can predict when they're going to go, just the next time they're available. And instead, I think if the neighbors had been kind of like pitted against each other in terms of, I mean, I liked when the four had to swap in and out and four of the originals had to go in the house. And that was a an interesting twist. And if that had gone on a little longer, or had there had been more done with that, I think that would have been interesting. Yeah. But, you know, maybe had them kind of compete, like whoever is evicted, then one of these neighbors is going to replace, and have some kind of vote or, you know, something, whether it's the public or in the house, and only one of them coming in, rather than, I think four was just kind of too much.
Yeah. And we talked early in the season about how, I mean, part of the fun is seeing the reveal and like what, like us knowing what the house guests don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lot this season of, like I remember when Tim announced to the housemates that their pairs would be ending, we're like, I think you and I were both hoping that that would be kind of sprung on them during eviction night. Uh-huh. And that we get to see their reaction then. So there were a lot of things I think that the housemates were told that would have been better TV had it been revealed to them in a different way.
Right. And I think the pairs could have gone on one more week to make that a little more dramatic, yeah,
just,
as well.
Just give Jake immunity or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but otherwise, I mean, it was fun. It had its ups and downs. But I think in the end, you know, I was glad that they went with, they proceed with 2014, and I'm hoping that they do proceed with 2015. I'm just hoping that they listen to,
listen to our podcast.
Yeah, listen to our podcast. I'm hoping they listen to some of the ideas and the critiques that the fans have put out there in terms of, here's what was working, here's what wasn't working, and they take it to heart and try to maybe get back into the 2012-2013 groove.
Yeah, I mean Sonya's got to pay for her new baby. She needs a job.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, even though I can say, you know, I was more disappointed in this winter compared to previous years, and there were certain things about this season, I still was really, you know, enjoyed watching it every week, and missed that it wasn't on the weekends and things like that. So I would love to see it back.
Yeah. Likewise. But otherwise, I think that's all I've got for this massive season of Big Brother Australia. Anything else that you want to say? Parting?
Well, I enjoyed this comment that was on the website, so I just wanted to give a shout out. Yeah. Mark on Rob has a website, says, "Hey, Amy, off topic of Big Brother, but happy you liked Slip, Slop, Slap. It was a Sun Smart sun protection campaign a long time ago. Slip on a shirt, slop on some sunscreen, and slap on a hat. Just a bit of trivia for you." Maybe he means travia, but... So we got a little more Australian news, which is always fun. So it's probably like, I wonder how old it is, if it's kind of like, don't be a litter bug, like something really old. But that's kind of, yeah, it's cute.
If Penny's mom was quoting it, I wonder how recent it actually was.
Right. And Big Brother. Yeah. Kurt, I was just going to thank you. I've had a lot of fun this season. So thank you for consulting with me. You know, I know I was kind of like, I don't know if I'll be able to have the time commitment, but, you know, who am I kidding? I'm going to make time for Big Brother Australia.
You put it out in the universe that you didn't know you had a time commitment, and then Big Brother Australia adjusted its schedule to only be 4 days a week.
That's what it is. I'm to blame, everyone.
You put it out there.
Yeah.
And it was listening to you rather than saving Sky.
Right.
At the end of the series.
Right. I'm like the guy in the audience. Sky.
Sky. I think it was the same guy each week, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah. He's just some employee of Dreamworld.
Yeah. They keep trying to fire him. Well, no, I'm glad that you were able to join. I knew that in previous years, that you and I have had a lot of offline discussion, pre-podcast discussion about the UK and Australian.
We had a wrap up podcast that was just basically Facebook messages. That was our pre-work.
We can anybody that goes back and watches Big Brother UK 2012, just know that Amy and I were fans of Caroline from that season.
Right. We were fans of Michael from UK or Australia 2012.
Yep. And it was so, yeah, go give 2012 a listen, and then you can probably skip UK 2013, but Australia 2013
Team Tahan and Team Drew.
Yes, Team Tahan, Team Drew. But yeah, and this also then ends my 6 month marathon. Woo!
But are you still plugging away at Once Upon a Time?
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, we just
Speaking of plugging, the,
Yeah, we actually just, right before you and I were recording this finale, Mike Bloom and I recorded our episode 10 coverage of season 4 of Once Upon a Time. So that should be up in a bit. And I'm trying to think, and there may be another one-off special coverage podcast that may make its appearance on the reality TV wrap-ups this week. So if you are subscribed to the reality TV wrap-ups channel, or you can go to robhasawebsite.com/wrap-ups to subscribe, you may hear a bonus coverage podcast with myself, Mike Bloom, and a couple other folks this week. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I won't say much more about that.
Keep subscribed, and then you'll be caught up when Haley and I return next year, early January, to cover Farmer Chris and all the Bachelor excitement.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to have some show to kill off this winter, which is fun. Although the Clark curse may have struck Big Brother Australia.
We have
to wait and see still. Stay tuned for that. But hopefully I need to connect with Mallory and see if we are covering, if she's interested in still covering Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother UK, which will happen in usually late January.
That's right, they do two a year.
Yeah, I get a little bit of like a month off.
There's always Big Brother around somewhere.
But luckily I can, even though I technically cover international, I think we're not considering Canada to be international. That's about it. Well, thank you everybody for 80 days of Big Brother Australia. We've loved having all of you through, whether or not we've agreed on certain topics or certain points of view on the show and rooting for different people. We do definitely thank you for listening, and couldn't have been here without you guys listening.
Definitely. So it's been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun. And again, I hope everybody has a great holiday season, a great rest of the year. Maybe add a Big Brother Australia 2015 to your holiday wish list, and we'll see if that can be delivered 9 months down the road. So
put it out into the universe, make the heart symbol.
Heart.
I'm putting my heart symbol out to all of you listeners.
I'm not. But I'm sending positive thoughts to everybody.
Positive vibes. Very good.
Cool. Well, again, thank you, everybody. It's hard to say goodbye, but we are bidding farewell to Big Brother Australia, and thank you all for listening. And we will hopefully catch up with you in 2015. Take care.
Bye.